Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you, Olga, for arranging one more interesting and meaningful event. So, sorry, I would like to apologize, Nicola, for spoiling the lunch time, because everybody was rushing in the hall to listen to this panel, so they didn't enjoy a lot the lunch time. But we will try to be up to the level they expect. So, the theme of the conference. What is the theme of the conference? Includes long-term value, sustainability, keywords, let's say, for our shipping industry. I think this is something shipping has done forever. In this panel, we are going to see a little bit more innovative ideas. We have seen all of them since the beginning of this morning, and there has been one common denominator on all the discussions: safety, human element, these kind of things. But shipping companies today, and we have representatives, four of them, with us in this panel, have to face this changing environment with a heritage on which they are based, a knowledge on which they are based, plus new tools. New tools that are coming and can be of assistance to them, but also can be complicating things ashore, complicating things on board. There will be also decisions to be taken by people on where to invest, because there could be nice gadgets to have, but are they useful for them? So, with all the tsunami of the regulations coming into force, and the cost of these regulations that we have seen, and has been said by many, I don't want to refer to, but you know, EU regulations, ETS, allowances now to be surrendered and be increasing in the next years for 40, 70, 100%, fuel EU maritime coming into the game, there will be a huge cost for shipping companies. And somehow, in order to remain attractive and to remain competitive, they have to be, because competent they are, competitive, they need to invest on certain technologies. So what we have in this panel, and what we are going to try to transmit to you and hopefully get some feedbacks as well if we have the time, we would like to see how these companies invested and what they have done, and what are much more, not what they have done up to now, but maybe what are the strategies for next steps to be done, probably could be useful examples for others, and could show also, clarify a little bit a field in which there is a lot of uncertainty. And we all contribute many times in this uncertainty by strange fuels, fuels that maybe there are no possibility to deliver on board or to, in an environmental friendly way, let's say, to produce. So in such a way we increase stories but not solutions to the problem. So four panelists with us. We had a little change due to Marcos Vasilikos that was announced in the agenda, but we have the pleasure to have Aristides Pittas, president and of Eurobulk and CEO of Eurosys. So thank you, Aristides, for your immediate availability to contribute to our panel. Next to me, I have Dimitri Vastarouha, CEO and Vice President of Danaos Corporation. Thank you, Dimitri. Then Antonis Georgatzis, CEO of Lasco Marine Management. And last but not least, Kostas Kontes, a Group Commercial Director and Managing Director Mediterranean for the V-Ships Group, managing company. So I would like to start this discussion, I would call it rather than presentation or panel, by having the view of each one of our panelists on what their companies have done in this transformational phase to face these challenges. Are challenges? Are they opportunities, maybe, to diversify, to show how good they are, especially for environmental regulation? This is the theme now. So how does your company, Dimitri, gets prepared for the challenges? What are the solutions you have adopted? And much more, we need to know the strategies you have.
Thank you, Spiros. Good afternoon, everybody. These are common questions, but very, very hot and interesting nowadays. I can see two key areas to construct my answer. One is how to preserve the competitive advantage today, and the second is how to develop a sustainable business model, which is different in terms of that one in the past. The competitive advantage, of course, means embeds the proper running of the company, fleet utilization, optimum cost, high standards to clients. Everybody knows about it. But today, this challenge is even bigger because it's not only the fuel cost, it is also the emissions cost, the external pressure, geopolitical pressures, a shortage of crew, and I can state a number of other factors that make things much more difficult. In order to preserve our advantage, I could say that we can see four key pillars. One is, first of all, to optimize the existing fleet. But this is, I think, known to most of you. All these retrofits that happened the last years, bulbous bow propellers, paints, and all other technologies, we have investigated, analyzed in our company more than 37 energy efficiency improvement methods. But today we need to ensure that every ship has to be, let's say, provided with the best possible solution for the best possible result. The second is to optimize the routes, the operational aspects. And here we need technology, we need digitalization, we need artificial intelligence to work on a chain value concept and not only on, let's say, our own value concept. And then we have, which is a requirement of nowadays, these requirements, it is the development of monitoring systems of emission. This is not only in order to comply with the regulations and be aligned with our clients and stakeholders and authorities, but the key reason for this kind of development that can be done either in-house or through third parties is to create the necessary tools for, let's say, scenario analysis and predictions of costs that will follow. Because investments today are quite expensive. We are talking about very expensive retrofits, and we have to be the most possible, let's say, prepared, well prepared that we can. And of course, last but not least, is what we do with the replacement of the fleet. And in Danaos, we decided that it's time to renew our fleet. We have 20 vessels on order. This is our new building plan. Already 5 vessels have delivered. And the company generally follows the, let's say, green fuel ready concept, not apply dual fuel engines for our own reasons, but to have our vessels ready to be retrofitted fast when the time comes and things are quite mature. Now, the second part is a little bit more complicated, to have a modern, let's say, development of a business plan. Things have changed. Technology runs faster than people. We have the generation gap, which is really important, makes things much more difficult. We have, as I mentioned before, shortage of crew. We have different, let's say, way of thinking. We need, as I mentioned before, to think on a chain value basis. And also we have other priorities, other values like transparency, constructive work, productive work that were absent from the traditional shipping, let's say, the last decade. So what we have to do with this and what the company did actually is, first of all, to establish, create, and enhance and promote the sustainability principles in all areas. Not just to have a report, but to change the way of thinking in the governmental, social, environmental issues. This is very important. We disclose data to CDP, CSA, which is an extension above, let's say, the normal ESG. We have to invest on an R&D. We have done it years now, but recently we reached a number of 15 persons. Other companies, of course, can use third-party consultants, external sources, but this is very important to develop the necessary systems that are required today to run the business. And of course, we have the introduction of the AI that makes all this much more, flexible, effective, but it still needs too much work. And finally, to develop communication channels, either with our clients, promoting transparency, interfaces to share data, working together to optimize legs of various routes to get the maximum, let's say, the best results. And also, last but not least, to develop the communication channel with our seafarers and bring them closely to the new reality, to the new era, and to make them a part of the new modern mechanism that company creates. Thank you.
Dimitri, thank you. You spoke about date. Before going to Aristides to ask the same question on the, strategies and investments that their company has done, but I would like to, you mentioned digitalization of your procedures and processes and data collection, proper data collection. This morning I heard by somebody, I think it was Dimitri Fafalios or somebody else, who said how difficult it is, or it is a task that we have, to convince people in the companies and on board and ashore on the value of this data, that this data can have for their work, for their safety on board, or whatever. Do you face in your company people on board and ashore any resistance in getting this kind of culture, let's say?
We are working with Internet of Things since 2012, 12 years now. It's not an easy task to have a massive value of data. In our company, we start working with this idea by presenting this idea as your morning friend. It was a presentation that in the front page was a cup of coffee, and we said, this is your morning coffee. This is the way that this information can help you, instead of looking 80, 90 routines multiplied by a number of vessels, which is impossible, how to have, let's say, a good, fast picture of when your fleet goes. Even if it is so useful, still there is a resistance. It's not easy to have everybody fully aligned. There are many people who are resistant to change. But this takes time, and I think that at the end will be rewarding. On board vessels, we had less problem. I think that if everything is well structured, what was sent on board, they follow without real problems. This is my experience at this point.
Thank you, Dimitri. Going to Aristides. Aristides, can you give us your illustration of what have you done in your company in innovation and digital things?
I'll be very brief. Everything that Danaos has done. No, but really, this is a problem that all companies are facing. It's exactly the same problem for all, and depending on the size, I think, of the company, the problems might be slightly different. Smaller companies, to me, have a very serious problem, because as things develop, it's very difficult for them to follow. And that's one more reason why we will see less small companies around. I've been advocating for years that the small companies do not have a future, but this is another reason why this may happen. Because the most important thing of all is to have people that are knowledgeable and that understand the developments, and they are fast, as we just said, and be able to adapt to them. Because if I say I am in favor of sustainable development and I want our company to be leading in that direction, I have to convince my top managers, they have to convince their people. And it's very, very easy for people that do not have this broad picture to see that. So I think, again, saying, you know, what Danaos is doing is exactly what we are doing, to a slightly lesser level, because we are a smaller company, so we don't do our own research, but we may participate in projects, and we have taken measures that really have a result today in applying ESD on our ships. We very recently made a huge retrofit on a few of our larger container ships, and we are seeing the result. The result is 25% less consumption for the same speeds. So it's very, very significant, and it's a very significant contribution towards the reduction of the greenhouse emissions. Digitalization, as Dimitri said, is something that is helping. We are doing it through third-party advisors. One of them that's helping us is the Danaos Offsprint, of course. And performance monitoring, all these things help at the end in reducing the cost to the environment, but the cost to the shipping company itself. So it makes absolute sense to want to do all that. Generally speaking, and I'm diverting a little bit, but on this issue of environmentalism, the drive has to come from regulation, and it's coming, and everybody has to comply, and we are all complying, and that does mean that in the future we will have more efficient ships, perhaps ships burning another fuel, we will see, because carbon capture might be a solution or whatever else. But we all have to follow these new regulations, which are quite strict, but we will do it. As a company ourselves, we have placed 10 orders. We're considering placing new building orders. We are active in trying to replace the elder vessels as time goes by and as they become obsolete. They will become obsolete by regulation. But that is fine. We have to do things for the environment. So, yeah. I think I'll stop here because everybody is...
No. To my mind, many questions out of what you said, Aristide. I don't want to ask you about which is the fuel you see for the future. No, this is a question I will not... maybe to speak about football teams or others would be nicer. So I go, since time is passing, to Antonis. Same question. What is LATSCO doing in that direction of innovation? What is your present status with existing fleet, probably views for the future and strategies?
Thank you. I will just put the challenges of three different aspects. Environment, regulations, and how do we comply, as already mentioned. I would put the growing cyber threat, which is becoming part of our lives. And I would also like to refer to the growing number of incidents and high-impact accidents that we see across the world fleet in the last years. Looking into the environment, more specifically, we have been progressing over the last years by developing an in-house dedicated team of highly skilled people, highly trained people. We have invested in technology for obtaining data from the vessels, but also transferring that in the office. How do we check the quality and the accuracy, but also how do we have them on time and not a month later, which is very important for making decisions. And of course, we needed to develop internal tools that integrate all this information and make it easy to be digested from the end user, which is the superintendents or the people that run the ships. We strongly believe that in order to improve, we have to measure something. Unless you have it measured, you cannot improve it. Through this process that has lasted for years, and it's not something taken last year, we have come across a different challenge that was already briefly mentioned. What we started receiving is not always the truth. The numbers coming in the office, and you see them in a graph or somewhere in a pie, do not always represent what is the reality. And that came up after evaluating the tools and coming across data transmission gaps, wrong formulas that can lead to wrong conclusions and eventually to wrong decisions. So we got the idea of how we could secure these processes in the office, how the daily routines could be safeguarded so as to make sure that everything we see is the truth. So we partnership with non-shipping body, TUV, in a joint and quite innovative project, since it has not been done until then, how to certify the systems, which we did. And now we are certain that what we see, what we measure, is truly correct. All the above bring challenges for the management companies that, in our view, have a threefold approach. The first one is that traditional technical departments can no longer cope with these developments, and you need to have different teams, different knowledge, different background, but also different attitude, because technical people, we tend to be a little bit more negative to changes. The second thing is, I agree with Mr. Peters, that smaller companies will face big challenges. How to comply? You need to invest, you need to have resources in order to support all these kinds of functions that is very difficult to find in a small company. And the last is that unavoidably the cost will increase. There's no other way. Our strategy dictates that we stay close to the technology and all the new fuel developments, etc. We operate the first dual-fuel LPG vessel that was delivered from Hyundai back in 2021, quite successfully, and last year we managed for the first time to record 91% operation on gas, which was a world's first. The problem is the availability of the resources, both ashore and on board. We need to develop the people. The people are not there. You cannot find them. You need to build them on both sides, and that takes time. It takes years. We have allocated our best teams running these vessels, and of course the company has invested on a new building program of 15 vessels that includes a number of dual-fuel LPGs. LPGs because it's the core of our business. At the same time, we actively participate in innovative projects and partnership with key players like SIGDO or MAN. We are looking at ammonia as a fuel. We are looking at DME as a fuel. And we are confident that we move on the right direction, agreeing with Mr. Peters that vessels will become obsolete in the future by the driven regulations. And the ones currently operating will be there as long as there is a need to transport goods. And at the end of the day, we always keep human and safety on top of our business and daily routines, operations.
I would like to call to come back on that later, because I have seen, Antoni, a very interesting article of yours during Posidonia that you referred a lot on these safety aspects. But I will come to that later. Let's concentrate on this first level of approach to what companies are doing now. I pass to Kostas. Yes, please.
Before you passed, Kostas, I think Adonis mentioned initially, you know, a significant pillar in their strategy, which is cyber, but you didn't expand on it. But I want to caution everybody that we have to take this very seriously. We have recently been a victim of such an attack, and I can tell you it's very painful. Luckily, it didn't involve the ships at all. It was only on the office level. But it is something that all of us have to take great care.
Aristide, thank you for mentioning that at this level, because, you know, cyber is something that is to be taken at top level in the companies. It is a very critical issue to guarantee, let's say, the business continuity. Can put you in great trouble. As regards ships, Ajax is doing, you know, very well from this year. We have the new regulations for new ships as regards cyber. Then we have procedures for all companies to be in somehow, coping with the cyber protection. So certain procedures have to be incorporated in the safety management systems. But nevertheless, cyber happens, and as you say, cyber attacks happen, and is very critical, especially considering all these digital new tools that we are talking about. We heard from the Ajax chairman, we have now special panels of Ajax on the safe digitalization and the safe decarbonization, taking also the word safety inside, where includes also the cyber. So I go now to Kostas, and I would like to go back to our initial question as regarding this environment that we have been discussing and everybody is discussing how is such a company as your Costas managing company with big number of ships. How are you? What are your strategies and actions?
On the cyber threat, don't forget also what happened on the case with Maersk and the collapse of their system and what the implications were at the time when we were operating the vessels. So, you know, very good point and important to take a note on that. So we are on the side of the ship management, so we are not able to invest into the conversion as the owning side. And therefore, we have been able to build up upon a team that will undertake all these requirements of the new regulations. A team that will be doing the, is called Verde, and is undertaking all the feasibility studies for the conversions, advising the owners, making sure that they take the right decision on the performance side. But on the end, at the same time, we have on our own in-house software where we have developed and we have worked upon with the aim to make sure that the data from the number of vessels we are operating over the years is now being used to advise and support the teams on board on the decision making. So we are today where the decision comes sometimes, or it was coming until now in the office with respect to looking at the noon reports and making sure that the footprint, the carbon footprint at the CII is being taken at the office level and advising back the ships. We are now giving this information back to the ships with the noon reports, with an AI format to be able to give the right information and prediction on board the vessel so that they are able to take the slow steaming when it comes to a possible congestion in the next port. Information that, you know, probably today is not used at the level that they should be used, so that there is an optimized performance. So at the same time, we have worked in carrying out training on our crew members to take over the first dual fuel vessels for a few big tanker clients. And then we have been able successfully to take over the first containers with dual methanol fuel. So that was something that we have done successfully. We have seen that there is a lot of challenges finding the right people back in the office or back on board the vessels that they are able to take us to the next era. Imagine if at this level big operators like the colleagues that they are on this panel or ourselves, they face such a big problem. Imagine the smaller operators and the problems that they will be eventually facing. And that's why we are building up this platform to be able to support that potential transfer, so that the number of smaller companies, they just don't disappear, but they have a way through a common, through a third-party platform to be able to sustain that and go to the new era. Geopolitical, which we didn't touch much. I think there is a big challenge over there, and we need to make sure that we prioritize our crew and their lives, and make sure that we are operating within the safe territorial waters. At the same time, we have expanded our sanctions list, so that we don't, we are preventing ourselves from operating with counterparties that they are at risk. And this has, given us possibly, we have allowed ourselves to lose clients or lose ships that they went over to the dark fleet with, which we never wanted to work with. And we are trying to focus on, on what is our business and where shipping is really aim at growing in the next future.
Costa, thank you for that. Regarding, regarding the human element that you mentioned, do you require any particular, let's say, training for your people when they join? Do you have you structured your company in a different way on that? We have heard also, again, I refer to Ajax, it's more close to me. I'm working for Arena, so I am. It's next to me. The human-centric approach is always, let's say, in all this changing environment. How does V-Ships, with huge number of crew members around the globe every day, how are you coping with this?
So I think the most important point is to understand what the challenge is. And the challenge is that there is a new technology coming in every day on board the vessels. So your crew are growing faster in every position, so they are climbing the hierarchy faster. They don't have as much troubleshooting as in the past. And then they are also not spending on board the vessels as long as they used to. So now also you have the new fuel requirement, which is they need to adapt themselves. So with this amount of challenges in hand, you need to have the proper systems or data to be able to support them in the decision making. Troubleshooting, you know, with the new engines and the electronics of the new engines, how do you help this chief engineer or this second engineer now on board the vessel? You need to be able to have a troubleshooting somehow manual, or have a good connectivity to connect with your manufacturers back, or having seen a similar issue in another vessel of the fleet, so that there is a case study immediately ready for any possible troubleshooting. On the dual fuels and the new fuel requirements, we are participating as an organization on the Maersk McKinsey Zero Carbon Center. We hear, we have a voice there, and we hear for a at first instance what is happening over there. We are participating with all these major players training, in developing our training standards, so that we, and when we have the opportunity to double up positions, so that they are eventually trained for and grow up the trained pool, we take that opportunity and we do that as well.
Thank you. Okay, so we've seen that all of you have a common denominator of what I've heard by all of you is that you are working on existing fleets to improve efficiency with various tools that are available, or ESD devices, as Aristides mentioned before, is something I think it is, because we have thousands of vessels in the water and decarbonization cannot happen with a switch. Let's go a little bit more on the safety side. I would like to ask Antonis on that regarding what we have seen up to now as tools available, technologies available, experiments being done. The vessel is to become a laboratory for many things. Is it possible in the middle of the Atlantic to have a laboratory? What is safety?
The answer would be obviously no. But
great, time is pressing, so I can accept even answers of this kind. But
no, anyway. Our experience shows that it's a hard way to go into the new fuels. It's not an easy task. It's not something that happens overnight. It is obvious that legislators have moved way too much, and technology is not there yet. It's not mature, and it's not only the engines; it's the whole system that needs to be developed. It's only last week that IMO published guidelines in the CCC related to ammonia, while the first ammonia ships have already been ordered and are due to be delivered within the next 12 months. So it's very nice and it's very good, and we have the obligation as an industry to look into the future, and we have to do so. We have to look into the new fuels in a safe way and develop the foundation that would go towards this direction. But at the other end, we need to see the basics. We need to see what is happening in the rest of the fleet. Yes, Ferrari is good, the Porsche is good, but we still need to think of the poor Skoda or Fiat. So the incidents are increasing, which shows something. So I'm questioning, is it that we're placing way too much focus on decarbonization? Because for us, as daily operators, it's the same people that do both. So are we spending way too much time into looking into the future, and maybe we have forgotten the basic cause of ship management that leads eventually to accidents? I think this is a question that we all have to think about, because at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to operate the ships in a safe way, in the same way that the ones before us have done so.
Antonio, thank you. We have 5 minutes left for the time kindly given to us. So I will have two final questions for Dimitris and Aristidis. Dimitri, we haven't touched, has been discussed this morning briefly, the issue of AI. This is something coming in the future. Maybe it's coming today, rather fast. Maybe it's a new revolution that will happen faster than any revolution, industrial revolution done in the past. This is what they say. Why do you think that it will be appropriate for our industry? What is your opinion in 2 minutes?
Yeah, I note two things here. A necessary why and a difficult how. But I will make it a little bit more difficult, and I will add a small question, a supplementary question. Can AI substitute the COO in a shipping company? My answer, and this is my message to everybody here, is that today, partially, yes. Although it's against me, but partially yes, and I will explain why. There is a strong demand for operational efficiency. Today we have a massive amount of data, and decisions are data-driven, and we are talking about decisions that lead to very, very expensive investments. And I think that the time that is needed to, let's say, analyze all this data and take the decision moves so fast that humans cannot cope with. AI is a 24/7 worker, is unbiased, non-emotionally controlled, and fair. So, of course, cannot substitute the COO or the CEO on human element issues, but as far as concerned the analysis, can definitely be covered by the AI. This is very important and very accurate and very fast. Now, how we can do it? It's not an easy answer. First of all, we need to digitalize all companies' processes to eliminate human errors, to find areas of improvement. We are working on this the last 2 years, and we have discovered plenty of areas that need improvement that cannot be identified by humans at this extent. So we need to digitalize all processes. The second is to be sure that the data recorded and collected are accurate and correct. This is very important part before moving to the next step, which is the training of the AI system. And there is a difficulty here, because first we need to train the trainers. In social media, for example, AI has been applied, but it is a known field. Shipping is still an unknown territory for the AI developers. So we need to proceed with the proper recruitment, and we need also to engage our seafarers in this effort, because as I mentioned, the data are of paramount importance to build a very solid and proper AI system in a company.
Your question, if a CEO can be substituted by AI, pops up to me an interesting panel for next Capital Link. Maybe we can have, instead of Dimitris and the others, ChatGPT, Copilot. If, Nicola, if you agree, I can moderate this panel. I can be the victim of technology in front of all of you. we can ask these two and give questions and answers. I think will be interesting an experiment. If you like, we can take it next year. Aristide, I would like to close with you. A part of we have been flying high with all these new technologies and AI. You have been running a family business. You are in a listed company. We are talking about new things. We are talking companies, let's say big companies, small companies, future challenges. What is your view, final views on that? How do you see your company in this environment and blending this heritage with what is going to happen, especially for Greek shipping?
Yes, the question was a little bit different when you sent it to me by mail, but it's okay.
I always do these kind of things in the end of the show.
But really quickly, because we've run out of time, I want to say that having been a public company for so many years and having made that choice more than 10 years ago, 15 years ago, what is it, 20 years, it's a decision that we never came to regret. I think if we had not been a public company, of course we would have been a smaller company, but still we would be trying to work in the same manner. And I think that the Greek private companies and the public companies, they don't really have things that differentiate them other than, you know, the transparency and the need for reporting. But just to close giving this one simple example, being public, you have to come out with your financials 4 times a year. Privately, sometimes people don't even do financials. It helps run a business, and all the rules and regulations, although strict, they really are in the overall in the right direction, and they help the companies develop. So I think that even private Greek companies should try to run themselves as public companies.
I think with what you said, it has been the perfect closure for our panel. Thank you, Dimitri, Aristide, Costa, Antoni. Thank you all for listening to us. A round of applause for you. See you next year with ChatGPT here.